Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here today. We finished up our Reset series. How's the reset going? Resetting our heart and our mind and these areas in our life that God has really some great things in store for us. I hope that's going well. Today, we're going to begin a new series, the first week of our series, All In. And this is going to be a look at the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus. And in fact, I encouraged you to read through the book of Ephesians this past week so that when I got up here and talked, a lot of times you could say, well, I knew that because you read it. I hope that you got into the book of Ephesians. We're going to be doing that over the next 6 weeks. There are six chapters in the book, and we're going to be going chapter by chapter looking at the verses within that chapter each week. I'm going to be doing the majority of those lessons, and we're going to also be hearing from Joseph and Jeff also during this series. But these six chapters, even though they were written literally God-breathed, as he used the Apostle Paul to pen these words to the Christians at Ephesus, the Ephesians, they were included in the Bible for our benefit. So I want to encourage you, when you get into God's Word and you start looking, even some of the historical areas, they're in there for a reason, and they are timeless in their truths. Now, the first three chapters are doctrinal, and they emphasize Christian beliefs and privileges. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And again, keep in mind, I always say this when we start a series, today is the foundation. So we got to do a little groundwork, all right, so that we can work through this, and hopefully this will be an encouragement in a time of growth in your life as we go through this wonderful, wonderful letter in God's Word. And so then you move to the last three chapters, and they are practical, and they emphasize Christian behavior and responsibilities. So over the next few weeks, we're going to see that we are, first of all, chosen in Christ. Then we're going to talk about being alive in Christ. We're going to discuss being strong in Christ. We're going to talk about living in Christ, being wise in Christ, and then finishing up being equipped in Christ. And he wants us to be all in, not partially. He wants us to be all in. Let's dive right in, all right? We've got some groundwork to do, so let's look at chapter 1. We're going to begin with verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to go ahead and read all of those verses, okay? So you can follow along with me. Paul says he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. All right, so there's a lot of information in those verses. And you might say, and I think it's a legitimate question, you might ask the question, okay, so if I'm all in, what's in it for me? Now, that's probably not the question we should continue to ask once we are all in. But In the context of our discussion today, it's a legitimate question. You're proposing that we're all in, so what are the benefits of being all in? When we are in Christ, the Bible tells us that each person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Himself, and God the Holy Spirit, work together to bless us. That's a pretty good team. And I want to be in on God's blessings. I want to be all in. How about you? Wouldn't you rather live the blessed life than just the mundane? I want to be all in on these blessings orchestrated by God Himself. So let's look at some of these benefits made available to you and me. Number one, the benefits from the Father, verses 4 through 6. In verse 4, it says that we are chosen. It says, even as He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. You know, we can only be holy and blameless before Him because of Him. Jesus died on the cross to make atonement for our sins. Because we are sinners by nature, we are separated from a sinless God. Somebody has to pay the price for our sin, the Bible tells us. God says only a perfect sacrifice will do, and none of us are perfect. But Jesus is. So He satisfied the requirements of a righteous God for us. That's what's called imputed righteousness. In other words, when we trust in Jesus alone and accept His gift of salvation, we are in Christ, and God sees us because we're in Christ as holy and blameless. And that's good news. Because on our own, very few of us could raise our hand and say, I'm holy and blameless. Because if you did, you would lose that status right then because you would be lying. Right? We are all imperfect. And so, God says, I'll make a way, and that sacrifice is Christ. And because we're in Him, God sees us as holy and blameless. And I want to tell you, chosen in Christ, it's nice to be chosen, isn't it? Except for like maybe jury duty or an audit or something like that. But most of the time, it's really, really great to be chosen. I want you. Be on my team. Would you marry me? Would you? And it's just nice to be chosen. When you're chosen, it normally means that not only are you wanted, but you are valued. So God created us to love us and for us to be a part of His eternal family. He is a relational God. We are chosen by God in Christ, not in ourselves or because of any merit on our own. That's called grace. Unmerited favor extended to us. Aren't you glad for grace? Unmerited favor. Nothing we do gains that favor. It's unmerited favor extended from God to us. We were chosen before we were created, which makes it impossible for us to have anything to do with the choosing. We are recipients. John 15:16. Now that's a difficult concept, would you agree? All right, we were chosen before we were created. I don't know if I can illustrate this or not in any kind of tangible way. I want to look right over here. Right over here. Is there a gift over here for anybody? Just take a look. Look in the pocket in front of you there while you're doing that. Take a look and see if there's anything down in there for you. Right up there. You see something there? Pick it up. All right, Aaron, good. Good. Why don't you show everybody the wonderful free gift that you received? All right. Aaron got an all-in t-shirt. Aaron, that was predetermined before you got here today. It was free, and I tell you, for it to be yours, you have to take it. So it's your option. Margaret, is there anything over there anywhere? Is that? Okay, good. Margaret, you got a free gift. Congratulations. Jerry, you already got your gift. Jerry had that open and almost had that thing on. That's free. It's for you. That's for you. That's for you. We predetermined that before you arrived today. And for you to possess those, to have them, you had to take it. Anybody else want a free gift? Huh? Want a free gift? There you go. Free gift. There you go. All right. Now, here's the deal. I knew you guys would want those. That's why I walked over this way. Now, what I try to do is a somewhat feeble attempt to explain something called election. And this is a good kind of election, where God chose you and predetermined that you would be offered the free gift of salvation and have the opportunity to receive it. You might ask, Aaron, say, well, yeah, well, what if I, you predetermined that I'd get, what if I hadn't sat there today? But you did. And Margaret did. And Jerry did. Election is not easy to explain. In fact, I'm not so sure we even need to try so hard as some do. But it is a doctrine in Scripture. Very important. In his commentary, Warren Wiersbe writes this: a person doesn't respond to God's grace against his will, but he responds because God's grace makes him willing to respond. I believe God is sovereign, which, by the way, sovereign means supreme power and authority. So I believe a God who is sovereign has the ability and right to give us a free will for his glory. God's sovereignty and human responsibility are both in the Bible. I believe the Bible when it says God chose us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. And when Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," John 15:16. And I believe the Bible when it says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come and take the free gift of the water of life," Revelation 22:17. And when the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I believe the Bible when it says it was predetermined before your arrival that free gift would be available to you. And I believe it when the Bible says that anyone who wants it, receive it. Because God is sovereign. He has the right and the ability to make it that way. And we can spend our days debating this back and forth. But I just simply want to believe the entire Word of God and know that, man, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are born again and nothing can change that. And it started way back when. I can't explain it all, but I believe it all. And you know, that's where faith comes in. And what does the Bible tell us pleases God? Faith. And so, we have this salvation made available to us. We are chosen by God. Secondly, we are adopted. Verse 5. It says, "In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." Now listen, we don't become sons and daughters of God through the adoption. Not in this context. In an adoption, in the physical sense, in this world, the way that we understand it, a birth has already taken place. Someone has to be born. And I want to tell you, redemption comes through and salvation comes through being born again. And then it says he adopts us. So what is that talking about? Well, it's in addition to him choosing us, he goes through the process. And in this context, adoption means we are immediately given adult status in God's family with full rights and privileges. Man, wouldn't you like that, students? Huh? Full rights and privileges as adults. Don't have to wait. That's what it's talking about. And when we have those full rights and privileges, that taps into the blessings that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have in store for us, and we don't have to wait. We are lifted up and given full rights and privileges. Then verse 6 tells us, not only are we adopted, chosen, adopted, but we are accepted. And it says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We are made acceptable to God by the gift of his grace, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. And there's a difference. So we see some wonderful benefits from God the Father. And then we see also some benefits from the Son. These are in verses 7 through 12. Jesus made these possible. First of all, in verse 7, it says that we are redeemed. In him, we have redemption through his blood. In other words, the sacrifice. The Bible tells us that term redeemed, when it says redemption or redeemed, it referred to the purchase of a slave with the intent to set that slave free. I mean, back in the Roman Empire, there was millions and millions and millions of slaves. And so they understood this terminology very well. And when he talked about redemption, they understood immediately that that meant in that time there were those that would purchase a slave with the sole reason of giving that slave their freedom. What a wonderful gift. And so the Bible says that we are redeemed. We are set free. We were in bondage to sin, but Jesus' blood, that's that blood term there, Jesus' blood sacrifice on the cross purchased our freedom. That's why he died on the cross. So one of the great benefits we have from being chosen in Christ and being all in is we are redeemed. Then secondly, in verse 7, we are forgiven. It says, in him we have the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. When we ask, God forgives and chooses to forget our sins. We are free and we are forgiven, Jeremiah 31, 34. And then the Bible tells us we have a purpose. Verses 8 through 10. It says, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. Now, the fullness of time means the end of this world as we know it. This world is not getting better. This world is headed to an end that we can read about in Scripture. We know what's happening. We read the prophecies. We've already seen prophecies fulfilled. And so the fullness of time means the end of this world as we know it. One day God's going to create a new heaven and earth, the Bible says, and everything and everyone who is in Christ will be united. I mean, we strive for peace in the world, in our nation, in our homes, and it eludes us. That's because there's not going to be any perfect peace until the culmination of all of this time as we know it, when God himself unites and reconciles and makes everything right. We're going to be united and we will be together for eternity. Now, in the meantime, what do? Well, until the culmination of human history on this earth, priority one is our purpose for living, and it's to bring glory to our Lord and point others to Him through the testimony of our life. That's priority one. Two of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life are who are you going to spend your life with and who are you going to spend your life for. And I want to encourage you to live your life for Jesus because He has a perfect purpose for you. So we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we have a purpose. And then the Bible says that we have an inheritance. Verses 11 and 12 says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." In other words, He does as He pleases. He has that right and authority and that ability. And then it says in verse 12, "So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory." Now, these verses here, it's interesting. Some versions of the Bible where this says we have obtained an inheritance, some versions say we are an inheritance. Well, I believe both are accurate. We have an eternal inheritance waiting for us. 1 Peter 1 substantiates that. And in John 17, Jesus refers to those who are saved as those whom you, God, have given me, Jesus. So we are an inheritance. We have this inheritance, and we are an inheritance. What does that tell you about your value in Christ? So, we move on to the benefits of the Holy Spirit. In verses 13 and 14, in verse 13, we see that first of all, we are sealed. "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit." A seal was used when a transaction was complete. A business transaction, any transaction, a seal was used. And that seal also showed it was a mark of authority. In other words, it's done, the transaction is complete, and I have the authority to seal that. It's the seal, the mark. And so, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is the sign that our salvation is complete and genuine. You don't have to do anything to earn it. It is complete. And salvation is given to us by the one who has the authority to pay the price that we might have salvation and offer it to us for eternity. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, "Here's the seal." And nobody can break that seal. Here I am in Christ, and the Holy Spirit seals it. When you have life, you have eternal life, the Bible says, and that eternal tells me that it lasts forever. Some people go through life fearing whether they have measured up, whether they're good enough to make it to heaven, or whether they received Jesus Christ but then somehow messed up so bad that they lost that salvation. I want to tell you, the Bible tells us plain and clear throughout Scripture, once saved, always saved, if you're truly saved. If you're in, you're all in. And so, we are sealed. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 is known as the fruit of the Spirit. You could probably rehearse those in your mind, some of you. And that is evidence. That's the seal that says, man, the Holy Spirit's in me. And if the Holy Spirit's in me, He has sealed me. Transaction's done. And He's got the authority to do it. And then it says in verse 14 that not only are we sealed, but we have a guarantee. I like guarantees. I found that guarantees are only as good as the one guaranteeing it. Have you found that out? But we have a guarantee. It says the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. If a guarantee is only as good as the one who is making the guarantee, I'm glad God made this guarantee for me. It says here the Holy Spirit is our down payment, our escrow, our security until God's plan for the ages is complete and everything is made right for eternity. Not only are we all in, but we're all in for all time, guaranteed. As explained in the remaining verses of chapter 1, Paul wanted us to understand how blessed we are by being all in. Listen to what he says in verses 15 through 23. He says, "Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So Paul wants us to know our position in Christ. We have hope and assurance of a future. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Paul not only wanted us to know our position, he wanted us to know our provision in Christ. We are rich. We're joint heirs with Jesus. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Romans 8:16 through 17. And then Paul wanted us to know not only the position and the provision, but he wanted us to know that power in Christ. We have the power to overcome. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. So let me bring this down to a conclusion. Let me give you three takeaways from Ephesians 1. There are a number, but let's kind of look at these. If we are in Christ, and he is in us, first of all, we are wealthy. Live like it. We're wealthy. Let's live like it. In Christ, we have benefits. We have been given much. In Christ, we have responsibilities also. Because to whom much is given, much shall be required. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. We're wealthy. Let's live like it. Number two, our wealth is by God's grace and for his glory. Let's love like it. Love him for the unmerited favor of his grace. And love others enough to share that grace and your story for his glory. Our purpose is to make him famous. We're wealthy. Our wealth is by God's grace and for his glory. And then number three, the third takeaway, there's more to come. expect it. This is just the beginning of our inheritance, our wealth in Christ. You work out the greatest scenario in your mind that you could for this, for happiness in this life, and you figure it all out, and I want to tell you that doesn't even begin to compare of the hope and the glory and the inheritance that's waiting for us. We are wealthy. We ought to live like it now. Our wealth is by God's grace for His glory. We ought to love like it. But there's more to come. Expect it. I have a friend, this is interesting, a couple of weeks ago, we were visiting with my friend, and my friend received a strange inheritance. For years, she helped an elderly widow. She helped her, she would run errands kind of for her and clean and do some cooking and things like that for this elderly widow, and you know, she literally, as a younger girl, sacrificially gave of her time just to be a help to this lady. And the lady passed away. And after she died, my friend inherited her house. They decided to replace the carpet. And so they tore out the carpet. And when they began pulling up the carpet, they literally, by the time they were finished, literally found tens of thousands of dollars in cash under perimeter of that carpet. In fact, my friend said this, "Man, I've been walking in the green all these years. Didn't know it." It was her inheritance, and she did not know it. But let me tell you what. That was only a small portion of her inheritance. There was more to come. You would be amazed if I told you how God had blessed her for her service. The blessings of this life are just the beginning. Don't be walking in the green and not know it. We're wealthy, but it's just the beginning. Expect more to come. Live expectantly as the day of our Lord's return draws closer. And so my question to you would be, are you ready? Are you all in? Let's stand, if you would, please. And as we bring our service to a close, I want to pray a brief prayer. And then we're going to sing another song. And as we sing that song, we always want to give you an opportunity. If you're not sure about this thing of being all in, and maybe you have some questions about a relationship with Christ or the church or things of that nature, we have some encouragers that will be down here at the front that will be praying. And all you have to do is let them know that maybe you have a question about something. They'll help you. Or maybe you need somebody to pray with you about something. Maybe you're going through some issues in your life. You were never meant to go through those things alone. And maybe you can share. Maybe you just want to pray by yourself. You're welcome to do that. But we invite you during this song. You can pray. You can sit here in the front, or we've got the altars here. We've got actually side rooms back here, little alcoves behind these screens where you can go and you can have privacy there. Also, following the service, if there's anyone who needs any spiritual help whatsoever, for a few minutes following the service, there'll be a couple of people down here at the front also that would be glad to visit with you. The important thing is, take your next step in your faith today. For some, it might be the first step to receive Jesus Christ. Hey, you're chosen. For others, it might be to live in light of His blessings and benefits. Whatever you need, He waits. Let's pray. We're going to sing. If you have a need, let us know. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for loving us and keeping us. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you do make things right. Until then, we want to make you famous. In Jesus' name I pray.